Here this day, I'm excited to preach God's word. Amen. We've been on Nehemiah for a while now, and the Lord keeps speaking to me in regards to the Nehemiah and the building of the walls. I believe we're getting close to being done with it, but for right now, we're still on the book of Nehemiah. And the title of this morning's message is, What God Says Matters. It's a part one. It's a part one. I was getting too much information where I couldn't put it in one message. So at the end, I'm going to give part two on next Sunday. Amen. What God says matters. There on the screen, you see like a newspaper in the background with all the news going on around the world. Amen. Amen. That looks important, but what's important is highlighted, and it's what God says matters. We're living in a world right now where everybody's trying to figure out what's going on and not being too successful at it. But there's one that created the world, one that's in full control right now. So it tells you and I that what he says matters. And when I speak about what God says matters, I'm simply saying about his word. I'm talking about his word, the Bible. Amen? What God says matters. As I open up in the book of Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5, I'm going to be speaking about the word here this day. I'm going to be speaking about God's word, and I believe there's some that doesn't open up God's word. Whenever you don't have a reading life pertaining to God's word, amen, you're going to be hearing what the world has to say in regards to your life, in regards to your marriage, in regards to your children, even in ministry. You're going to go by what the world says. Once again, the title of the message is, What God Says Matters. What God says matters. So I challenge by the end of this service that the person of the Holy Spirit would come upon your life and get you to a place of conviction in wanting to read God's word, because what he says matters. Especially even the more in these end times that we're living in. Amen? Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5. At this point, the wall is built. Amen? The gates have been rebuilt. Amen? Things are coming together. And at this point, Nehemiah and then Ezra here, the word once again comes back to Jerusalem. God is with them. The walls have been rebuilt, the gates. And they go to the word of the Lord, and the Bible says that Ezra stood on the platform in full view of all the people. I believe that was a pulpit, an altar. Just as I am standing in full view before all of you, amen, on a platform. And this was what was taking place back then as Ezra was given the word. The Bible says that he stood on the platform in full view of all the people when they saw him. As you see me here this morning, as they saw him open the book, not any book, but the book, they all rose to their feet. I want us to rise to our feet here this morning. A lot of churches start, you know, when they open up, whatever, everybody stands. I believe this is probably where it comes from. The Bible tells us when they saw him, not when they saw Ezra, when they saw him open the book. So I want you to see here this day what God's word has for your life this day. Not so much me, but I want you to see, because the word of the Lord has been opened this morning to speak into your life. And I believe we should all give a reverence unto the reading of the Lord, and that's why I asked you to speak. Ezra then asked the people to stand. They did it on their own. Amen? That all of them rose to their feet as the word of the Lord was opened. Amen? I want to read now from verse 1 to verse 12. Amen? And as I'm reading, I want you to stand. Remain standing. And if you don't have your Bible, I want your focus to go to the screens, because every verse I'm going to read is going to be on the screens. It's a reverence we should give unto the Lord. Why? His words matter. His words matter. I'm going to be skipping a little bit of verse 5 and 7. It's got all these Chinese names in it. Amen? It's not Hebrew word, the name is Chinese. So I might pass it up, amen. And the Bible reads in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. In October, when the Israelites had settled in their towns, the walls are built, the gates are up, all the people, not some of the people, a revival was taking place. The Bible records that all the people assembled with a unified purpose. The unified purpose. At the square just inside the water gate, they asked Ezra, the scribe, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given for Israel to obey. So on October the 8th, amen, Ezra the priest brought the book of the law before the assembly, which included the men and women and all the children old enough to understand. Verse 3. He faced the square just inside the water gate from early morning until noon and read aloud to everyone who could understand. All the people, there's that word all again. All the people listened closely to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform that had been made for the occasion. To his right, I'm going to skip now, and we're jumping down to verse 5. Amen. Ezra stood on the platform in full view of all the people. When they saw him open the book, they all rose to their feet as we are here this morning. Amen. Then Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people chanted, Amen, Amen, as they lifted their hands. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. We need to know, for many, many, many years they were defeated. They were in captivity. Amen, they were in bondage. But now a revival was taking place, and they were all coming together, amen, praising the Lord, raising their hands, standing at the opening of the word of the Lord. Something new was taking place, and they all wanted in. They all wanted to be part of it. And the Lord, they bowed their faces to the ground, verse 7. We're going to skip verse 7 and go to the end of verse 7. Then instructed the people in the law, while everyone remained in their places. Verse 8, they read from the book of the law of God and clearly explained the meaning of what was being read, helping the people understand each passage. How many know sometimes the word of the Lord is hard to understand? Amen? Verse 9, then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest, and the scribe, and the Levites who were interpreting for the people said to them, don't mourn or weep on such a day as this, for today is a sacred day before the Lord your God. For the people had all been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. As the word was being read, they were all broken. Amen? Because once again, there was an opportunity presenting in itself to them to learn from their mistakes. Amen? It brought forth a brokenness. And verse 10 goes on to say, and Nehemiah continued, go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Sometimes we can get bummed out as we hear the word of the Lord that lets us know where we're really at. Amen? And we can get bummed out. Nehemiah was telling them not to be sad, not to be bummed out, and to go serve somebody that didn't have nothing. Amen? Verse 11, and the Levites too quieted the people, telling them, hush, don't weep, for this is a sacred day. So the people went away to eat, drink at a festival meal, to share gifts of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they had heard God's words and understood them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. We prepare our hearts, our minds to hear your word here this day in high reverence, knowing that what you have to say, my Lord, is important, not just to my life, for the title I have as a minister, but to every life that is present here this morning, every life that is present online viewing this morning. Holy Spirit, have your way here this day. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. You may have your seats. The part two of the message will tell you that they stood for 3 hours and then another 3 hours. 6 hours as the word was going forth. But that's part two, amen? So I don't want to see no yawning, no complaining, nobody looking at their watch, their phone, looking for outside entertainment, because what God says matters. Amen? I want to challenge people right now. If you have a cell phone, now if you're using it, I want you to turn it off. I want you to turn your cell phone off. There's many jobs that people have here that you're not allowed to touch your phone. You can't even make a phone call. You got to wait till lunch or a break. How many got a job where you can't use your phone at the job? Amen? A lot of hands going up. So if the job requires this, I believe for a focus. You're there to work, not to be on your phone. You're here at church to hear what God says, because it matters, not to be on what somebody's saying on Facebook right now. There's a lot of news, a lot of gossip that goes behind the highlighted words. What God says matters. A lot of news going on. A lot of stuff in the background. And I believe there's a lot of stuff taking place in our lives. And I believe it's time that we got to highlight what God says, because it matters. I'm still old-fashioned. I'm getting a little bit more ashamed coming with a notebook up here. But because I keep it 100, as the young adults would say, I have a notes up here all highlighted. It's because they're important. It's because God gave them to me. I've been doing it like this for years, and I'm trying to transfer what they call, what do they call it? Notepad?
Tablet?
iPad? I got a brand new iPad at the house, but I like the notepad because this is the way I've been doing it for 25 years. Some old habits are hard to break, but I have highlighters. And I highlight what's important to me. What have you been highlighting within your life as an importance? Amen? Because what you see as important, you will highlight it. You will allow it to become priority within your life. Is the reading of God's word a priority to your life? And if it's not, I challenge you that by the end of this service, that it will be. Because what the word of the Lord says ain't what I say, it's what He says. And I'm going to give you what the Lord says this morning, but that's a couple of hours out of a week, out of 7 days, which is not enough. We're living in a time and an age where you need to open your word every day to hear from God every day, because every day matters. For your marriage, your children, the call upon your life. How many wants to do it God's way? Well, then what He says really matters. If you want to do it His way, you're going to have to start reading His word. Amen? In chapter 8 of verse 1, the Bible says, remember, a revival is taking place. Amen? In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5, sorry, in verse, no, let's go to verse 1. Let's go to verse 1. The Bible says that all the people assembled with a uniform purpose. Amen? With a unified purpose. I believe we're living in a time and an age right now as the body of Christ, the church, where everybody comes in with what their purpose may be. When we got to get to a place, if we all start reading God's word, we will be able to come into His house with a unified purpose and His will, no longer our will being done, but His will being done. In order for us to have a unified purpose as the body of Christ, it's very important that we all, not just some, but that we all read His word. To be able to come together as the many parts that make up the body of Christ. Amen? It goes on to say at the end that they ask Ezra, the scribe, to bring out the book. In other words, it had been put away. Somebody need to bring out the book within your life. It might be in the closet, it might be in the car. Wherever it is, you got to bring it out. You got to bring out God within your life. And I believe a lot of times we want to do what's right. We're good people. But what we bring out is not God's word. If you want to bring out God's word from your life, you got to bring out His word. And I believe a lot here this morning and viewing online don't view what God says as it's important, as it matters. But the people, ask Ezra the scribe to bring out the book. Something new was taking place in Jerusalem. The signs and wonders of the walls were built, the gates. They started off being ridiculed. Then they got halfway and then they built the wall. And now they're a threat to the enemy. Now God is with them, and they can all see. They all worked on the wall together on the gates. So they all now came into the temple of God. They were in church right here through all this reading. They were having church. And church, I believe, made a shift on this day from the lives of the people, where they wanted the word of the Lord brought out. Whenever you feel God moving your heart, speaking to you, making a shift within your life, you're going to have to bring his word out. There's no way around it. You're going to have to bring his word out. And here the people asked Ezra to bring out the book. And the Bible goes on to say, of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given for Israel to obey. How many want to be obedient here this morning for what God has for your life? Sometimes we're not in disobedience, we're in obedience, but to a man or a woman or a boss. So here we come to find out that the book that was brought out, amen, of the law of Moses, amen, was brought out not just to hear, but for Israel to obey. But for Israel to obey. Not just hear, but to obey. Here this morning, everybody's able to hear the word of the Lord. Even though some are viewing from California today, 3,500 miles away, are even have the opportunity to hear the word of the Lord. Those through Milwaukee and viewing from wherever state they're viewing right now are able to hear the word of the Lord here this morning. But what the Lord wants to know, and I want to know, it's who's going to go beyond hearing the word and actually obeying God's word? Because what he says this morning for your life and my life in this city matters. God's word is being brought out here this morning. And it's not up to you and I to hear, because we're all going to hear it. But it's up to you if you're going to obey it. And I believe a lot of times we obey what is not tied to God, because we want to do the right things, make the right moves, and we obey what is not tied to God. And that is the reason we still don't get godly results within our lives. We're good people. We don't cause trouble. It's about two or three of us here this morning, amen? And I ain't one of them. Two or three people are saying he's talking about me. Talk about me, Pastor. The word of the Lord was to obey. I have here in my notes three types of listeners. Those that hear the word of the Lord without understanding, which represents that you're never going to apply it. Because how can you do something you don't understand? That's the first type of listener. The second type of listener is those that hear the word, is those that hear the word never intending to apply it. There's some of you here this morning viewing online. You've come to hear the word, and it's nowhere in you. You're not even preparing yourself. Let me just get the word I was using. Amen? Never intending to apply it. Some of you are just happy you made it to church, and you're already thinking about what you're going to eat after church. Wondering, is the Labor Day picnic going to just have hot dogs, or is it going to have some meat and potatoes and hamburgers? Because I can eat hot dogs at home. We ate hot dogs, weenies con huevos con... Luis made it when we were at Airbnb at there all together, and one of the mornings Luis made breakfast for everybody. Amen. Le echó weenies, he cut hot dogs in there. Amen. We were all hungry. We all ate and said it was good. But there's so many people that come and hear God's word, never intending to apply it. And the third type of listener are those who hear the word and start to apply it, knowing they need breakthrough within their life. And I believe every one of us needs breakthrough within our life. We're all at different levels. I'm saved 25 years later, and I need breakthrough. Yes, for my personal life, but breakthrough for this church, this city, and what the Lord, the assignment the Lord has given me. How bad do you want your situation to change? How bad do you want to get out of the rut that you're in? How bad do you want to be able to see eye to eye with your man or your woman? Well, if he don't read, I'm not going to read. No, it's up to you to get it started. How long do you want to make what she or he has to say as important over what God has to say? Because what he says trumps anything we could hear from anybody. How bad do you want your breakthrough? How bad do you really want to go to the next level in being an effective son or daughter of the Lord here this day in helping build this church? In verse 2, the Bible reads, it's not just for the pastor, the word, amen? In verse 2, the Bible says, so on October the 8th, Ezra the priest brought the book of the law before the assembly, which included men, we got men here this morning, men viewing this morning, included women, we got women here this morning, women viewing here this morning, and it also included all the children old enough to understand. I believe the Lord is doing an accelerated work right now where my little son, little Cedric, Juju, and all these young kids are starting to get used right now. At a very young age, at 9, 10 years old, the presence of the Lord is coming upon their lives. We have people in place to disciple them, to guide them. And those that are guiding them by, guess what? The book. Guiding them in what matters. And that's God's word. So, it was you and I that was there that day. And verse 3 says that they were there from the morning until noon. I don't know how early morning, if that was 5, 4 in the morning, was it 7 in the morning, I don't know. But for prayer, we get here at 9 and we usually let out at 12, 3 hours. For those that want to come and spend time with the Lord and pray, for those that want to be part of the praise and the worship, for those that want to be ready to the hearing of the good news gospel preached, for those that are intending to apply God's word, intending to get godly results, breakthroughs within your life, marriage, family, children. And I believe everybody here needs a breakthrough one way or another. I like that. I put, wow, I like that on my notes right there. I'm long-winded. I do everything in my life of 25 years of wisdom to bring the plane down before 12. You know how hard it is for me to navigate that? It's tough. Because I was long-winded for the enemy and I'm long-winded for the Lord now. But I believe there's people viewing people here that were long-winded to go party for the enemy, and you're short-winded when it comes to the Lord. You're sleeping now, you're eating every day, you're healthy, you weigh a little bit more, and you're short-winded. You come up the steps of the church and you're already breathing hard, short-winded. So you come in saying, I pray Pastor's going to be short-winded this day. From early morning, the Bible says they faced the square just inside the water gate from early morning until noon and read aloud to everyone who could understand. All the people listened closely to the book of the law. They all listened closely, even though they were standing. That's one way to keep people awake, if I had you stand the whole message. You know why I'm convinced you can do it? I stand the whole message. But man, at my house, I'm doing my stretches and here and that. They placed and listened closely to the book. Because the first time the word of the Lord came around, amen, they took it for granted. And things went bad, went wrong, real bad, real wrong. And I believe there's some here this day being given a second opportunity to be able to not only hear God's word, but to obey God's word. I put here, they knew what brought the walls down and what had burned the gates down and what also brought captivity. And I put here, disobedience to God's word. Disobedience to God's word is what brought the walls down in Jerusalem. What had all the gates burned? It was disobedience to the word of the Lord. Once again, God's word matters. You can build with it, but without it, you would just tear down what you're trying to build, what you're trying to accomplish. I have a question here this morning. How many need instruction to a correct answer to something very important that's taking place in your life right now? Right now. You need instruction. Amen. To be able to have the right answer or answers to something that's very important that's taking place in your life, that you just can't leave it to her or to him, to your cousin, comadre, whoever it might be, your best friend, your BBF or BFF. Some of you are saying, what do you mean by BBF? It's code stuff. If you didn't get it, it wasn't for you. about to get divorced. I know what, I'm going to call my BBF. I know I said it wrong again. I'm trying to wake some of you up already. I'm going to call my BFF. My best friend forever and ever will give me instructions how to not get divorced. How to get my son or my daughter off of addiction. See, there's some calls within this life that must and need be made to the Lord if you want a breakthrough, amen, for that love member that you're concerned about, a breakthrough for your mind that's going crazy because of what the love member is doing. So we got to call up God. And the way you call God to hear what he says is by the opening of the book, the opening of his word, and the opening of what he says, because what he says matters. And he's a promise keeper. He has kept me for 25 years. There's been times where a verse has saved my life in Christ, has saved this church in Christ. One sentence from God of instruction that gave me correct answers. What is it? I asked the question again. And the instruction to the correct answer to something very important that must take place in your life right now. A breakthrough that you've tried this way and that way. Took this person's advice. Have you opened the book? I believe your ears are opening right now to God's word. The Bible says that the truth is able to set the captive free. But the power comes, I always say, not in the hearing of the word, but in the obeying of the word. That's where the power comes. That's where the breakthrough comes. And that's where God is able to continue to speak to that man, to continue to speak to that woman, step for step, instruction by instruction, to give them correct answers to the problems of life that have caught up with them. In verses 8 and 9, the Bible reads, they read from the book of the law of God and clearly explained the meaning of what's being read, helping the people understand each passage. It was important, each passage. I shouldn't have skipped verses 5 and 7 with all them Chinese names. Each passage, I do my best to effectively break down the word of the Lord for you to understand, not only to hear, but to understand, to be able to apply it. To be able to apply it. In verse 9, the Bible says that Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were interpreting for the people said to them. So here we have the Levites, and they were interpreting the law of Moses that was in Hebrew to Aramaic. Amen? From one language to another language, verse by verse, for the people not just to hear, but to understand, to be obedient to the word. And we see this taking place. And I put here, hearing God's word is good. Hearing God's word is good. What's taking place right now in your ears, those viewing online, is good. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 through 19 says, so faith comes from hearing. So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. It didn't say hearing the good news about what she said or he said, but hearing the good news about Christ. Next verse, please. So we come to find out as you hear the gospel, it brings faith to your situation. It moves faith within your life. It moves your faith to say you can get out of that rut you're in. And the verse goes on to say, but I ask, have the people of Israel actually heard the message? Yes, they have. The message has gone throughout the earth and the words to all the world. But I ask, did the people of Israel really understand? Did they really understand? In other words, everybody was hearing the same word, but there was different things, responses taking place to the same word that was being given. Hearing God's word is important, but the application to God's word will bring your breakthrough. Hearing God's word here this morning, there online, is important. But I believe the reading of God's word brings translation. Translation. Back then it was through the Levites. But I believe, as a minister now and been around for 25 years, I believe the reading of God's word brings translation, an interpretation, amen, by the person of the Holy Spirit. I know now, many years later, when I read, I'm getting the translation to what God is wanting to say to my life by the person of the Holy Spirit. What God is wanting to say to your life, in your life, and those viewing online. I understand this today. But there was a time I could read and read and read, and I get no revelation, no understanding as a minister. But I kept on reading and I kept on reading and I kept on doing because I knew God's word was important. Question, does your life bring interpretation to God's word? When they see you, are they able to see God's word in motion? Are they able to see the proof of what God's able is to do in one's life that applies His word, not just hears His word, but obeys His word? Is your life bringing an interpretation, a revelation to God's word? Or when people look at your life, what interpretation are they getting? Oh, there she goes again. I told you she was going to mess up again. What did I tell you? I told you. Come on, hand over. We bet it. You lost. Come on. I told you he was going to mess up again. I told you. Just by the way he walks, by the way he talks, by the way he looks. I told you it was going to happen again. Is your life interpretating, breaking down for others to see God's word, to understand that He can do it in anybody's life, that His word is simple and plain and clear here this morning, that if He did it for my life, He can do it for your life. He can do it. He can do it. But His word needs to be important to your life. What God says matters here this morning. Well, Pastor, well, I'm busy. I got to go to work. All right. Get on with your bad self. Go to work. But you'll find yourself working for the enemy. I don't care what side of the tracks you live on. I heard God's word preached by my pastor in Victory Outreach, Salinas, California. For 6 to 7 years, I was sent out in 6, 7 years. And something would take place at the very first message. In the back row with my sugar mama with a pack of smokes in my pocket. Got out of prison the day before. Trying to look my hardest all in the back. And something took place when the word of the Lord went forth. I knew a few people, ex this and that's in the church, two or three. I go like, what's she doing here? One was a prostitute that I used to run with in the streets. She's still in Christ. Sylvia's still in Christ. Then I saw another sister that was on the pipe 24/7 at the hotspot. What is she doing here? Then I saw a brother that used to be in the hotspot, prison, the whole. What is he doing here? And God was using them before me with their hands up in the air. Amen. They're interpreting God's word and what God was able to do in one's life, because from the back row, you can see it all. And I was amazed that Lisa was her name. I was trying to, black sister. Boy, she get on that pipe and get stuck. I was in the house of God. Sylvia in the house of God. Sylvia's husband, Roy, in the house of God. And I was like, what are they doing here? 6-7 years, when I would hear the word, as a very young Christian, God's word would move greatly, allowing me to know that it was very important. Something was taking place in my heart in the last row of the church that was shaking me hard. And I came out of prison with a hardened heart. One way of thinking. What God says did not matter to my life. I just happened to be there that day. And God's word would be opened. And the preaching would start. And something would take place in my life. Faith started getting stirred within my life. I was on parole. I was supposed to go back to prison now for the third time. But something, as the word of God was being preached, was being shaken in my heart, saying, you don't have to remain like this. I want to change your life. But you're going to have to take my word as very important. My word is shaking you right now. Do you feel me shaking your heart right now? And I'm posted up in the back acting tough, saying, no, you got the wrong guy. You got the wrong guy. The Lord had the right guy. A guy did not deserve God's word. What God had for my life. And by the end of the message, I was at the altar broken. Broken, broken, broken. Because something took place when I heard God's word for the very first time in my life with Jesus all in it. With the blood of Jesus all in it. With the promises of Jesus all in it for my life. And as faith continued to get stirred and stirred, I went to the pastor and I talked to him, and he sent me to the rehab home. Because that Sunday service was not going to get the job done. It was the beginning work of the Lord within my life that wouldn't be finished by simply hearing one word. And I believe somebody's life is being challenged right now, shaken right now. Somebody's faith is being stirred that says, I can change. I don't have to stay like this. I don't have to remain fighting with her or him with the kid. I don't have to be like this. But you're going to have to take God's word as it matters to your situation. And a lot of times, we know God's word matters, but we know God's word matters so much that he's going to make us change some things within our lives. And Houston, that's where we have a problem. You really love her that much? Stop doing this, stop doing that. You really love him that much? Stop what you're doing. It's illegal. You see, so We're all hearing the word of God. We all want the results of God. But the reason a lot of us don't obey the word of God, knowing that it is very valuable and important to our breakthrough, to our recovery, is that it calls us to change. God's word will not allow you to stay the same. God's word will not allow you to think the same, talk the same, walk the same. God's word is here this day to transform the man, the woman, the young adult that not just wants to hear his word, but obey his word. The book is open here this day. As a very, very young Christian, God's word would move me greatly, allowing me to know that it was very important. 25 years later, I put here, God's word is still moves me greatly, even more than it did on the very first day. God is speaking to each and every one of us right now, including my own life. I'm challenged. And everybody I counsel comes for counsel, for breakthrough. They want something to change, something to give. But are you willing to give? We all want to be lovey-dovey and love all the time and kisses, kisses, and I don't want to be mad at you. I love you. Forgive me. We all want that. In verse 9, the Bible reads, the closing verse, then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest, and the scribe, and the Levites who were interpreting for the people said to them, don't mourn or weep on such a day as this. Some of you are feeling, man, Pastor has been talking about me all service. Don't get bummed out. Don't be bummed out. Nehemiah said to them, don't mourn, don't weep on such a day as this, for today is a sacred day before the Lord your God. They're still standing at this point. For the people had all been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Weeping's good, but I've seen a lot of weepers not obey God's word. Weeping is good. Being broken at the altar is good. God's word broke them. Some of you may not be literally crying right now, but God's word is breaking you. Breaking that plan of yours, breaking that heart of yours that needs to be mended. He's breaking you right now. He's chopping you up. And he's trying to get to you right now that what you're doing is not going to work today or ever work. So he's breaking you right now. He's the potter, and we're the clay, the Bible says. And he's wanting to shape a man and a woman right now to become one of his vessels of honor, no longer a vessel of dishonor that goes to church every Sunday. The Bible says that they were all broken. They were all weeping because they were so grateful for the opportunity that presented itself once again, God once again speaking to them. I always get a few that will come to, hey, Pastor, that was a great message. And the message was just for the moment, just for the hour, and they leave the doors back to the same old. Even though the message was great, the good news of the preaching of the gospel, it shook the heart, moved the heart. Altar call was made. But I believe some was those, the second type of listener, are those who never intend. They come to church, never intending to obey God's word. So when you never attend to obey God's word, you're never going to change. So you're coming to change, you're coming to church, but you're never going to change. This building ain't going to change you. I'll say it again. Just because you come to church 5-10 years don't make you a Christian. I will say, we have a garage here. You can go sleep in that garage for 10 years and you're not going to turn into a car. Just because it's a garage meant for cars, you can hang out in there for 10 years and it's not going to turn you into a car. Much more this building called the church going to turn you into a Christian just by sitting here hearing God's word, never intending to apply it, never intending to change. That's called religion. The people were broken, all of them were, because they seen their opportunity once again present themselves, not just to know God's word, to hear God's word, but to obey God's word as we stand on this beautiful Sunday morning. As the worship team makes their way, we have a part two to the message. Amen. Next Sunday. The moral of the story here this day is that we got to do our part, people. Amen. I did my part in positioning myself in the presence of the Lord to prepare the meal. The gospel. The manna of the Lord. Amen. Intended for Christians to hear, to take in, to become strong, to be able to produce fruit. The enemy loves people going to church, not applying God's word. He loves it. He loves that. He loves that type of Christian. What the enemy don't like is the man or the woman that's all messed up, ain't got nothing good going for them, that hear God's word, something happens within them, and they start taking those baby steps towards obeying God's word. I always say I'll take a man that knows a few verses that can walk them than a man that can quote verses and paragraphs in the Bible that can't walk one of them. The book once again was open and God was speaking because he wanted to bring his children breakthrough. Whatever the song is, love. Some of you need to make a decision here this morning.
You have rescued my life.
Did I come just to hear the word because it's the right thing to do? Or did I come to hear the word intending to obey it, to apply it to my life? I'm going to open up the altars right now. I believe we all need instruction here this day. We all need answers to what's taking place within our lives. Because there's people that are connected to our lives. Communication is important. Communication is important. Communication with the Lord is important. The opening of his word, him communicating to us, trumps everything. your faith that is being stirred right now to say, I'm going to start to apply God's word within my life. Starting today. Today's a good day to open the book I got in my house, to open the book I got in my car, to open my life, to allow God in.
Hallelujah.
Oh, in the name of Jesus.
You have rescued my life.
Oh, hallelujah. Don't miss the opportunity of the hearing of God's word here this morning. Don't let the opportunity pass you by. Obey what the person of the Holy Spirit is telling you to do right now. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Respond to the great news of the preaching of the gospel of the Lord. Nobody can do it like Jesus.
You have rescued my life. You have rescued my life. And I'm never going back.
Speak to the Lord right there where you're at. Tell him yes. Tell him yes. I'm going to do it, Lord. You highlighted what needs to change in my life for today. When we highlight the word of the Lord, because what God says matters. When we highlight the word of the Lord and we intend to apply it, He then highlights what first of all needs to go from our life. He'll highlight it. He will highlight it. He will highlight what you need to stop today. Nobody might even know about it, but God does. God does. And He's highlighting it right now to prove to you that He knows all things. And so His love for you highlights what needs to be removed when we're supposed to highlight His word and what needs to be deposited within our lives. That's if you want breakthrough within your life. That's if you want to serve the Lord here in this church. He's not calling anybody to be perfect here this day. But I believe there's some things He's highlighting right now that gotta go. That gotta go. And He can't take you to second base without a few things leaving your life. He eventually wants us to round the bases and score. Because if you don't round the bases and you don't score for the Lord, you will score for the enemy. I love each and every one of you all here this day. And I know the importance of God's word. I would have lasted a few months in the church if it wasn't for God's word. very first message, it shook me hard. And I was clean and sober when it happened. It shook me, and I tried to fight it off, and I tried to fight it off. And I said, I ain't going up there. I ain't going up there. I ain't weak. I ain't weak. Those people are weak. That's why they need Jesus. They're weak. And I ain't weak. I just came out of prison. I'm holding my ground. Even though inside, outside, I look strong. But inside, I was the weak one. I couldn't get nothing done. I couldn't please anybody. I even had the connections mad at me. I couldn't even please the connection. I was washed up, messed up. But Jesus took me just as I was. And he called me through his word. And he has kept me through his word. And he's taking me right now strategically, step for step, with us in building this church. Because he is the architect. Scripture in Hebrews chapter 3 verse 4 says, for every house has a builder, but the one who built everything is God. I want the one that has built everything to be my God. Because there's some things that we need built in this church. That's going to come through your hands and my hands. He's the builder of everything. Everything you have belongs to the Lord and comes from the Lord. But we call it mine. The Lord says, no, I gave it to you. I blessed you. You didn't have nothing. You started off with nothing. But sometimes we get a few things in our name and we forget the opening of the book. Father, here this day, I thank you for all my spiritual sons and daughters, those that are present, those that are online, those that are viewing from different states, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for I know what your incorruptible word is able to do. Your seed, Lord, Father God, when it enters a man's heart or a woman's heart or a young adult's heart, I know what it's able to do. I am a witness to your word, Lord, that it's able to do what you say it's able to do when we do it your way. I pray that you touch that man right now, Lord, that wants it bad. Bad enough to give up whatever needs to be given up to make room for that seed to grow, to bear fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. That woman, Lord Father God, that needs breakthrough right now, and she knows the key this day is your word. That young adult this day knows it's your word. And that it'd be so important, Lord Father God, that they take it home with them to apply it every day into their lives. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering here this beautiful Sunday morning. Remember, we have streets at 1 o'clock evangelism taking place in the city at 1 o'clock in front of the church. And we have Run for Hope jumping off in the foyer, amen, with Sister Rose there, amen. God bless each and every one of y'all. If anybody needs a counseling session for my wife or myself, we are here for you. Go in the peace of the Lord. And Monday, Labor Day, 12 o'clock, right here in the yard area, amen. If it's going to be good weather, if it happens to turn into bad weather, we still got the facility inside. The show goes on no matter what, amen. God bless you guys.